There was an answer here somewhere. There had to be. And she couldn't shake off a feeling that the search was important, that what she was doing mattered. If there was one thing she was sure of, it was that the Mater Mundi wasn't what most people thought it was. It had its own direction and agenda, and didn't hesitate to use whatever innocent tools it felt necessary to get the job done, irrespective of the harm it did to its victims along the way. The Mater Mundi treated people exactly the way the Iron Bitch had. What was the Uber Espers' objective? And if the Espers found out, would they still allow themselves to be used and discarded? Diana, sitting on her chair in her room, felt small and alone. This was too big for just one person, even her. But there was no one else she could take her questions and her fears to. She couldn't go to the leaders of the Esper Underground. The Mater Mundi had founded the Underground. She might still be involved in running things on some deep, very secret level. Which meant Diana couldn't trust anyone. The Mater Mundi could strike at her through any friend or enemy or stranger, if it knew what she was doing. Diana sat up sharply. Something was wrong. She could feel it. She looked quickly around her, suddenly convinced that someone had just come into the room. But the door was shut, and she was alone. She shuddered. The room was icy cold. Her breath was steaming on the air before her. Hoarfrost was forming on the computer equipment, tracing pretty fern shapes on the monitor and view screen. There was a feeling of pressure on the air, as though something impossibly large was coming, forcing its way through dimensional barriers and rattling the windows of reality. It was close now, looking for a way in. Diana surged to her feet, kicking the chair away to give herself room to move. She pulled her power around her like a cloak. It didn't stop her teeth chattering or her hands shaking. Diana wasn't sure how much of that was due to the cold. She didn't bother trying to call for help. She knew no one would be allowed to hear her. She knew what was coming. Glancing frantically about her, her gaze fell on the view screen. The patterns in the frost were slowly changing into a ragged, smiling face. Every piece of computer equipment in the room rose up and took on a new shape. Metal and plastic humped and cracked, splitting and reforming around the new thing that was creating itself through the transforming tech. It made a sort of human shape, towering over Diana with a wide, blocky body and two arms of different lengths, ending in sharp metal claws. The head on top of the body had view screen glass for eyes and a jagged metal tear for a smile. Static sparked around the head like a splintered halo. The Mater Mundi had found a new way to manifest.
Hi. Good of you to drop by.
You've been asking questions. You must stop.
Then stop me, if you can.
Diana wrapped her arms tightly around her, as much to hold herself together as keep out the terrible cold.
I will, if I must. Do not mistake my forbearance for weakness.
Bullshit. The best you could manage was this thing, this metal golem to intimidate me. I've seen scarier mobiles in children's nurseries.
I can break you, child.
And Diana was back in Worm Boy Hell, naked in the dark, crawling in her own piss and shit and vomit, while the Worm Boy played awful, sadistic mind games, torturing her again and again, until she destroyed her own voice with her constant screaming.
No. Get out of my mind, you bitch.
And she was back in the records room again, shivering and shaking, the taste of vomit in her mouth. She glared at the metal construct, her mouth stretched in something that was as much a snarl as a smile. Her rage warmed her, driving out the cold. And when she spoke, she was Jenny Psycho again.
That shit will work with me. That was the past. I'm stronger now. Stronger than I ever dreamed of being. Maybe stronger than you ever dreamed I could be. You can't stop me. No one can stop me. I'm going to find out who and what and where you are. And then I'll make you pay for all the poor bastards whose lives you destroyed.
I did what was necessary. I did what you wanted. I made the rebel victory possible.
For your own reasons. Now get the hell out of here before I decide to test just how strong you made me.
Oh, sharper than a serpent's tooth. It is to raise an ungrateful child.
The presence was suddenly gone, and the cold went with it. The hoarfrost started melting, slow tears falling from the face on the viewscreen, washing it away. The metal golem was empty, just an abandoned shell. One of them had been bluffing, but she wasn't sure which. Apparently the Mater Mundi hadn't been sure either. Diana was pretty certain that had been the Mater Mundi, showing off a disturbing new trick it had learned. It was definitely growing stronger. Still, Diana thought, she must be getting closer to the truth if the Mater Mundi was prepared to go to such lengths to try to warn her off. With anyone else, it would probably have worked. Diana looked at the metal and plastic shape, still towering over her, and shivered again. Now that she had time to think about it, it really was pretty scary. She couldn't help wondering if that was how other people felt in the presence of Jenny Psycho.
Damn. How the hell am I going to explain this mess to the head of the house?
Captain Silence led his old friend and enemy, the man called Carrion, through the packed, shining steel corridors of the Star Cruiser Dauntless. It had been a long time since Carrion had been on a starship. He'd spent the last 12 years living alone on the planet Unseelie, also known as Ghost World, his only companions, the restless spirits of the murdered alien Ashrai. After so much comforting solitude, safe from the eyes and voices of men, the bustling men and women crewing the Star Cruiser made him uneasy, particularly since he knew most of them would cheerfully kill him given the chance. None of them would look at him directly. They turned their heads away as they passed, their mouths silently forming curses and obscenities, and he could feel angry stares burning into his back. He didn't react. Carrion held his head high and walked on beside Silence, as though he noticed nothing, felt nothing.
"Been a few changes since you were last on a Star Cruiser. Nothing too drastic, though. There's a file in your personal computer that will bring you up to date, but you'd better be a quick study. We're leaving orbit in 6 hours.
"Why the rush? The Dark Void's not going anywhere."
"But whatever's in there might not stay in there much longer. You heard Half a Man. He called them the Recreated. Aliens who died and brought themselves back to life. Spooky, if true."
"You doubt the word of one of humanity's greatest heroes?"
"If the first Half a Man was a fake and a liar, who's to say this new one isn't as well? But we can't take the chance with something as potentially dangerous as the Recreated. Someone has to check it out. And my ship and crew have more experience with the Dark Void than most."
"The idea of the Recreated is not without precedent. You gave the order that wiped out the Ashrai, but they survived in their way."
"Huh. They're your ghosts. You keep them under control. I'm putting you in Frost's old cabin. Since you're officially an investigator again, it's yours by right anyway. It's been cleared of all personal possessions. Not that Frost had many."
"I know you and she were close. I regret your loss."
"You never liked her. She represented everything you ever hated about the Empire."
"I respected her. She was a warrior."
"Whatever. She was a good soldier. I honor her memory." Don't let the crew's attitude get to you. They'll come around once they've seen you work."
"I doubt it, Captain. I am a traitor. I betrayed my fellow crew and my own species to join the alien Ashrai in their war against humanity. Not that it did them any good in the long run. Still, I killed a great many men and women, some of them familiar faces I once served beside, just to protect an alien species in open rebellion against the Empire. I'm humanity's worst nightmare, an investigator who went native, a traitor proud of his treason."
"You had your reasons."
"Just as you did when you gave the order to scorch Unseelie and destroy everything that lived on that world."
"You've never forgiven me for that, have you?"
"No, Captain. We've both done too much for forgiveness to mean anything."
"You've been pardoned, reinstated as an investigator, in return for your joining this mission into the Dark Void. The crew know that. And they'll respect your work and authority, or I'll kick their backsides till they do."
"I didn't ask for a pardon. I have not repented or reformed. I don't consider myself human anymore. I am the last of the Ashrai, and their legacy lives on within me. I'm here because I have nowhere else to be. Now that the metallic forests are gone, and Unseelie is nothing more than a giant tombstone for the wonders that once lived there."
"You're here because I asked you, because I needed you, because you're my friend."
"Perhaps. There is bad blood between us, John. Murder and betrayal and loss of trust. The two men we used to be, the men who were friends, are a long way off in the past. So far from us, I can barely see them. We are different people now.
Maybe, Sean. Time changes everyone. It's not many who end up the people they thought they'd become. We all look back from time to time and wonder how the hell we got here from there.
I chose my path. I regret nothing.
Die, you bastard traitor!
A crewman stepped suddenly out of an alcove, aimed a disruptor point-blank at Carrion's chest, and pressed the stud. There was no time to dodge, and nowhere to go in the narrow corridor. Even Silence, with all his more-than-human speed and reflexes, couldn't do anything to stop what was happening. The disruptor's energy beam crossed the few feet between the crewman and Carrion in less than a second, and a blazing energy field radiated from Carrion's power lance, absorbing the disruptor blast without missing a beat. There was a reason why power lances were banned throughout the Empire, their very possession a capital offense. They amplified an Esper's power to the point where he was literally unbeatable in battle, and Carrion was no ordinary Esper. For a long moment, nobody moved. The crewman stood frozen in place, his discharged gun still pointing at Carrion, his mouth hanging open. Carrion stared back at him impassively. Silence's hand hovered above his holstered gun. Then the crewman's face twisted with rage, and he grabbed for the sword at his side. Silence moved quickly forward, grabbed the crewman by the shirt front, and slammed him back against the steel bulkhead behind him. All the breath went out of the crewman, and the anger that had been fueling him. His face went slack, and his hands hung limply at his sides.
Nice reflexes, Sean.
I've had to develop them to stay alive in human space.
Silence turned back to the crewman and glared into the man's dazed eyes.
Name and rank, mister. Now!
Ordinary Starman Baron, Captain. A loyal member of your crew. Unlike that piece of scum!
That's enough! He's a pardoned man, an investigator, and your superior officer. He has my full confidence, and an attack on him is an attack on me. Now turn yourself into security. I'll deal with you later. And Baron, don't make me come looking for you.
I said I was loyal, but you don't understand.
Save it for your court-martial.
He killed my father! On Unseelie!
The man looked as if he was about to cry. Silence met Carrion's eyes. Carrion nodded slowly.
It's possible. I killed a lot of people on Unseelie. I regret your loss, Baron.
Save your lies, traitor!
That's enough!
Silence pulled Baron away from the bulkhead and threw him staggering down the corridor. Other crew members watching from the sidelines moved quickly back to get out of his way. Baron stumbled away to the security office, not looking back. Carrion and Silence looked after him for a while and then turned away. Around them, the watching crew returned to their tasks.
We never really leave the past behind. Some part of it always turns up again, demanding payment.
He must have been a child when his father died. No wonder he hates me. Probably joined your crew to follow in his father's footsteps, only to find me here and you defending me. It must be very difficult for him.
None of that makes any difference. You're supposed to understand discipline. I thought I trained my people better than that. They're warriors, not sneaking assassins.
It's not as if he were the first. There have been several attempts on my life since you brought me back from Unseelie.
What? This is the first I've heard of it. Why wasn't I informed? Why didn't you tell me?
It wasn't important. I handled it.
This is my ship, Investigator. You are part of my crew. From now on, I want to know everything. Is that understood?
Yes, Captain.